Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You interrupted me while I was just saying the word vaginal.
Apologies. What a terrible feminist.
Shall we talk a bit about Veganuary? Because I'm not going to lie, I feel really, really bad to all our lovely, lovely vegan followers. I had a pan of chocolat that was not vegan at all.
Actually, I had a pan of raisin yesterday, and there's no way that a pan of raisin is at all vegan, is it?
So depending on what type of fig you're eating, they could have nothing to do with wasps whatsoever. Anyway, thanks for the lovely podcast and look forward to more. Hasn't that blown your mind? It turns out figs are a lot more complicated than we thought.
Figs are very complicated.
That's such a joy. And if I'm doing 60 minutes today, then I'll really feel like I can have like a big smoothie or a milkshake that's going to make me shit myself. And I'm excited about it.
Vegan milkshake though, right?
Vaginal dryness at number 5.
Oh, another hit. Yeah.
We should do this as a kind of countdown, like a kind of top of the pops. Do, 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 do,
yeah.
Do, 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 do.
In at number 5,
vaginal dryness.
Welcome to episode 129 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she is your other host, Holly Taylor. We have a lot to talk about today. We've got to cover off training for the Paris Half, insecurities about that training, motivations for running in the first place, menopausal symptoms, and lastly, figs. So first of all, we chat about Holly's training for the half. She's having all the wobbles about Paris post-COVID. Her long runs haven't quite hit the mark, although she's been doing some cross-training, and she's really worried about how things are going to go on the day. I try and soothe her fears, but I'm sure you guys can do that better than me. I talk about menopause a bit here because I've realised that periods and hormones, or lack of them, have been having an effect on my training. We talk through as many symptoms as we can before we run out of time. I'm fully aware that there are more, but also that a number of these can affect our lives and our running, and that it's important to remember that they are wildly diverse, and sometimes it's difficult to join the dots between all these different things. Have a look on womensrunning.co.uk for great advice on menopause and running. Lastly, are figs vegan? An expert weighs into the debate, and we are obviously delighted. This and more hot topics, including the ever-present Veganuary wind situation, are discussed in detail. Don't say you haven't been warned. This episode is sponsored by Runner. Runner, that's R-U-N-N-A, is the first of its kind. It's a number one rated, fully automated running coaching service. Download the Runner app and you will be able to take your running to the next level with personalized, tailored plans delivered by brilliant coaches, including Olympian runner Steph Davis. Runner will help you achieve your goals, whether you're training for a faster 5K or your first marathon. Use the code WOMENSRUNNING, all one word, and you'll get your first 2 weeks training absolutely free to see what all the hype is about.
Basically, I just feel like Paris is going to be a shit show and I'm just going to get on with it and it'll be fine.
Oh, let's start from the beginning, Holly. Let's go right back to the beginning. What's wrong? Why do you think? What's wrong with Paris? What's going on?
I don't know. I'm just feeling increasingly anxious about it. And I just didn't think about the weekends because we've kind of already done, I don't think I've ever trained for more than one half marathon in a year. And because we did Bath only a few months ago, I hadn't really anticipated, but all of my February weekends are busy. So I'm just really, really anxious about when I'm going to fit these long runs in. Like I'm going to have to do my one from the weekend this weekend today, which for us, day of recording is Monday, 30th of January. Rather than having already kind of got it out the way and be able to kind of look forward to the new week. So I think once I've done that, I'll be okay. That's more of a psychological thing of going into the week, not having done my long run. I'm just feeling a little bit like it might be one that it's a little bit horrible and I have to walk run it a little bit. I don't know why. Maybe I'll feel better after I've gone on my long run today and I just need a bit of a confidence boost. But a month really doesn't seem like a long enough time to get up from running for an hour to be able to run a half marathon.
Yeah. How was your last long run? How did that feel?
Fine. Yeah, that was the one that I think I felt like, I can't remember whether I already talked about it on the pod, that I think I felt like I could have probably gone on for slightly longer. I felt quite good about it. But I don't know why. I just feel like I'm kind of like, it's the classic middle distance conundrum, I think, where as the distances start to get, you know, 4 or 5 miles feel like they're not much longer than a 5K. And so they feel not too horrendously scary compared to what I would usually kind of plod along for. But when you start to get kind of 6, 7, then they start to feel a little bit more scary. And I think I'm just having that a little bit, that I've got six to do today, though technically an hour is what I'm doing today. And I know it's only 10 minutes longer than I ran last time, but I think just psychologically, it starts to feel more like the big leagues and also more difficult to start fitting them in with the whole concept of time and worrying about time. I'm starting to worry about how I might be able to do this like I'm doing today, where I can fit them in on a Monday lunchtime or a Friday morning or something, but if I can't do them on a weekend. I know it'll be fine. I think I'm just overthinking and I need to go back to that thing of just looking at the week ahead of you rather than worrying about the distance up and up and upping, because I just keep thinking, I can't believe it's a month and I'm still only on those kind of numbers of runs, but also they feel like quite long runs at the same time. So it's like, oh, I feel in that funny, weird middle phase of training, I suppose.
Oh my God, I feel that. I totally get you. I totally get you. I think, right, number one, don't underestimate all the training that you've done over the past 18 months, let alone what you've done for the last couple of months.
And that's very true.
You know you can do it because you've done it. You know, the miles are there in your leg. I remember someone saying that to me and I didn't believe them. And I don't know how to make it a believable thing in your head, but you can do it and you know what it feels like to do it. And you did it, and that was really recently. And so, you know, you can do it.
I think if I hadn't had COVID in the middle, then I would feel more confident. I don't think COVID actually has had a huge impact on my fitness. I think it's just that psychologically, I feel like I must be in a very different place to where I was in October because of the fact that I've had COVID in the meantime. But I don't think that's the case. And like you said, I think there's a lot more hidden training going on that, because being completely honest with myself, this is probably the first time that I've done strength training consistently. Like previous races and stuff, I have done the odd bit here and there to stop me from feeling too guilty about life. But this is the first time I've actually found stuff that I'm enjoying. So I'm doing it really regularly. And yeah. I think that's another thing that I mustn't forget is that, you know how much I've struggled with DOMS always. And I feel like this time I know my strength training is working because I did the most horrendous HIIT class the other day where I basically felt like I was walking around in a squat like a frog for about 40 minutes. And yeah. I never came up from the squat. And I was waiting for that horrendous quad pain over the next couple of days and it didn't come. So I feel like I know I can see the impact that it's all having on my body as an overall kind of holistic thing. It's just that I think I've got to have something to worry about. So this time round, rather than the strength training and stuff, it's the running.
And right, yeah. Okay, let me ask you about your other runs. Like, what about the midweek ones? How are they? And are you managing to do them? And what do they feel like?
Yeah. Last week, I only managed to do one instead of two. And I think that's another reason that I'm feeling a little bit like wobbly about it. But I've been doing half of the time that my long runs are. So it was half an hour last week. And they've been fine. Because I can do those on a lunchtime. I really, really like setting the timer because then I really don't feel like I have any expectation on myself. Like if I just want to do a super slow plod, then I'm doing that and I'm spending half an hour doing that. And if I feel a little bit more confident, like I can run a little bit faster, then I can. I also think that they've felt a lot less scary in terms of that sort of adventure-y aspect in my head, because usually 3 miles, I'd be like, okay, I've got to run all the way to Newbridge and back and that will be about 3 miles. But in my head, this, and they all, and they're involving some hills and bits, whereas because it's only half an hour of plodding in my head, I've just been running around the local park, running around the golf course and just sort of like noodling about and not having a sort of destination and then I return again in mind. Yeah. I've just been sort of running about for half an hour and then usually strategically trying to finish at co-op if it's on a Friday, because my midweek run has, one of them's been on a Friday at the moment. Perfect. If I do that at lunchtime, finish at co-op on a Friday, top tip, stock up on Savvy B. That is honestly makes me so happy, because then I've done my run and I'm coming home with a bottle of wine. And nice. And then, or like today, if I'm going for a run on an earlier in the week lunchtime, then I've been trying to finish at a coffee shop and then picking up like, I don't know, a little treat lunch or a nice smoothie. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. That is a joy. That's such a joy. And if I'm doing 60 minutes today, then I'll really feel like I can have like a big fat panini. And,
OMG, yeah.
And a smoothie or a milkshake or something like really, really, that's going to make me shit myself. And I'm excited about it.
Vegan milkshake though, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, God,
yeah, on that front, shall we talk a bit about Veganuary? Because I'm not going to lie, I feel really, really bad to all our lovely, lovely vegan followers. But I think this weekend felt like it wasn't January anymore for me. And I really didn't do very well. I had a pan of chocolat that was not vegan at all.
Yeah, okay.
What else did I do? There were multiple transgressions because I noted them in my head and felt guilty about them every time.
You know, I was just about to say I did really well, but actually I had a pan of raisin yesterday and there's no way that a pan of raisin is at all vegan, is it?
Probably not. Pastries have been the downfall that I would not think of, because I don't think of myself as someone who eats many pastries, but clearly
yes,
I do.
Did I tell you that, you know, remember I told you I got very excited because I'd been contacted by a very lovely person from Paul's.
Oh, at Paul's.
So I'm going on Thursday because it's the, as you said, we're recording on the 30th of January and this Thursday is the London Marathon launch. And so they do kind of a bit of a thing where Hugh Brasher sort of talks about this, that and the other. Anyway, so I'm going along to that. And it's Thursday evening and lovely woman at Paul's said, oh, if you wanted to drop by and pick up, so they do
And this is a full plug for Pools.
We love Pools.
I am plugging Pools. They do vegan croissants and vegan other bits and pieces. And so I believe, Hol, aren't we meeting up on Friday, me and you?
I think we are.
So yeah, we said we would.
So I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, but I'm hoping to have some residual Paul pastries with me.
Oh my gosh! If you can spare a croissant, spare a little croissant, sir.
Yeah, for a little orphan. Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Oh, I would love it. Shout out to Paul's. If they want to give us more things, that's all. That's the only reason I'm doing that. They did save my life, Paul's, when I was in Paris. As we have probably discussed on the pod before, I can't remember whether I've discussed my general hatred for Paris, which I've been trying not to discuss too much because obviously we are all going. But I did 6 months there when I was in uni and had the most awful receptionist job with a nasty French man who used to say like, oh, there's a couple of pieces of paper on the floor in the copier room. We cannot stand for this behavior. And I would walk in and there'd be like one piece of paper that he could have picked up himself that he'd watch me pick up instead. Horrendous job. And the only thing that cheered me up, and also because I was a receptionist, I wasn't allowed to take my lunch break with other people because we had to take ours. There were two of us and there always had to be someone on the front desk. So it was like you had to take it at a time when nobody else was on their lunch kind of thing. And I used to go to Paul's to cheer me up and I would have a mozzarella pesto-y tomato-y baguette thing. And it would be the highlight of my day. And then on a Friday, I would also get a little mini lemon meringue tart to take home. And I would have that as my little treat.
Oh, you and your lemon puddings.
I bloody, what a lemming. I love Paul's. So
yeah,
there I you love go. Paul's. I've been very loyal to Paul's for a large amount of my life.
Yes, indeed. That'll be fun. But yeah, so veganism, I think, it's gone all right. Although I did, as I was reading a bit of, no, it wasn't, I wasn't doing Harry Potter. I was giving Ted his kind of nightly cuddle last night. And he said, and as I was doing so, he said something like, when will veganuary ever end? And it was purely...
Did he?
Yes. And it's nothing to do with food he's having. He's sitting there eating all the sausages. It's nothing to do with that. It's purely because of my wind, which is appalling. And last night was at its peak bad because of something which I am never going to buy again, which was vegan meatballs. And they were so bad.
Where were they from?
I don't want to shout out because they're bad.
Oh, so, okay, fair enough.
But they were not nice. They were not nice. And I couldn't even finish them. And everyone else was having meaty ones. I don't even like meatballs when they're meat. So I don't know why I decided to get the plant version. But yeah, they were not nice. And I was trumping. It was not only was I trumping, but I was in pain. So I had actual tracked wind.
Yeah,
I've been having
that too. I hadn't really put it down to the vegan diet because I always presumed in the past when I used to, because I do get a bit of the old kind of IBS stuff. I've never been diagnosed with it and I don't think it's, we talked about it on the pod before, I think, haven't we? Because you used to have it really badly. I've always wondered if it was dairy. And so I thought that dairy coming off dairy would be a really good idea, but I also have actually been struggling with the old bowels a lot more than I usually would do over January, and I hadn't really made a correlation, but I suppose that does mean that I can probably kind of write off cheese being the cause, and it's got to be something else, which is probably boring. It probably means I've got to do that whole thing where you're not allowed to even eat onions and stuff, you know,
FODMAP thing
where you have the FODMAP thing, we have to eliminate every joy in your life to work out which one is causing you horrible things. But I had a similar thing where I actually had to, Doug was so repulsed the other night that I genuinely got quite concerned, and I had to Google what is should I be, when should I visit a GP because of how putrid my farts are. And I actually genuinely don't do that, because the first thing that comes up is like colon cancer, incurable bowel diseases. So don't look up, should I go to the doctor if my farts hum? But
because I was getting really
freaked out by it.
No, because I am definitely the most foul of the four of us in the house. I'm the least noisy. I was the least noisy, but I'm definitely the most foul. And I generally am, but I have got way, way worse in this month. But to be honest, I get so much pleasure out of it that I don't care so much.
Yeah.
I just don't care. So I'm all right with it, but there's definitely, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when we were talking about the things that we've learned during Veganuary, and the things that I've learned is that mostly I haven't particularly enjoyed any of the kind of meat replacement stuff. And even down to the fact that I was using that kind of the fake streaky bacon, and we did it this weekend, and I was like, actually, no, I've had enough of this. I am so, so looking forward to. I love my new lentil thing. There are definite keepers from my time, and I've really enjoyed my change up in lunches, and I'm definitely going to be way more plant powered than before, for sure, absolutely. But on Thursday we are having a roast chicken, and I don't give a shit, and I cannot wait. I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah, you fully deserve a big roast chicken.
Yeah, I really like it.
I think that's why I haven't felt so guilty about various little transgressions, like a pan of chocolate over the weekend. What else did I bloody do? Something bad. I can't remember what it was. Oh, I had pizza because a friend came round and brought pizza, and I didn't feel like I could be like, no, I will have some lettuce leaves and watch you eat the pizza. So I just got on with it and had a few slices of the pizza. I think similarly, I didn't feel quite as bad about it because I thought, well, we're coming to the end now. And we've, as of day of recording, we've got like two more days of Veganuary. I think that instead I would like to start incorporating more sustainable habits. That's what I've been doing with my drinking thing as well, because, you know, I had a very strict rule for myself over January where I wouldn't drink during the weeks, and I would only drink on Friday and Saturday night. I broke my rule last week because I went to the cinema with a friend, and we had been being good, even if I'd kind of gone out for food or stuff like that. I'd had non-alcoholic stuff while everyone else had wine. I really haven't minded it. I thought I would, and actually I didn't mind it at all. It was absolutely fine. I quite enjoyed being the sober person, but I did really want to love, we went to the Tivoli cinema, and you know, they do like gorgeous kind of 1920s cocktails.
Yeah, super posh. Yeah.
I wanted one so badly. So I was like, well, actually, I think rather than doing these kind of like slightly faddy things of like for the month, I'm not going to sway from this particular rule. And then I'm just going to come 1st of February, start boozing, eating cheese, whatever else again. Instead, I feel like I want to be a little bit more, how can I make this a sustainable thing moving forward? And I know I'm not going to motivate myself to make any of them sustainable if I'm mega strict, even when I really want that pan of chocolate or I really want that nice cocktail. So I think that's why I'm making an excuse and saying it's fine, because we're gonna take those things forward and incorporate them into our normal routines. Yeah.
Yeah. I thoroughly agree. And I think that like with vegan stuff, I want to be more healthy and have less red meat. So selfishly, that's one of the things I want to carry forward. I like the idea of it being kind of environmentally a better decision if I can kind of cut out a bit more meat. So I think going forward, I definitely want to have, you know, yeah, less meaty days. It feels nicer, and it feels nicer also to have less tuna, because although I know that kind of oily fish is it, it can be extremely good for you. Tuna is kind of the bottom of the pile in terms of the oily fish that you should be eating. Like, you really should be having sort of mackerel and things like that, shouldn't you? So it's kind of, I don't know, I feel making more kind of conscious choices about what I eat and making that a thing that happens I agree, I do the same thing with my drinking, that I have a hard and fast rule, which actually wavers. And my hard fast rule is only drink at the weekend unless I go out. And because I go out quite rarely during the week, that, but if I go out during the week, it's like, no, I'm out. That's different. I'm allowed to have a drink now. So I think I'm allowed to kind of shift from that position. And also because then you accept that you can have a little drink if you go out, or a big drink if you go out, it means that actually if it's midweek and another thing happens and you're at home and you're not out and you just fancy a slow gin at 9:30, then have your bloody slow gin.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Just, you know, hashtag be kind.
Oh, I completely agree. Hashtag be kind. Because in the end, what I have learned, I'm going to back up our hashtag be kind theory here. That the big thing I've learned, I was chatting to a friend from school about this last night, actually. We were catching up and we hadn't spoken in ages, and she was like, oh, how's your January going? I'm being a bit boring and I've been doing lots of sort of like sensible things for my health and stuff. And I was like, so have I. And I think it's actually, although it some of it is a bit boring, and it is, of course I'd like to have wine every day. Of course I would. But it's being kind to yourself in the long run, because I think what I've learned is it's absolutely no point berating yourself for things that might not be sort of perfect habits according to a doctor or an influencer or whoever you're deciding it's a perfect habit based on. And instead, I think it's about knowing what will make you feel good, because not drinking so much, being a little bit more thoughtful about what I eat, exercising a bit more has, unsurprisingly maybe, but to me it's been surprising because I hadn't really correlated the two before, had such a profound effect on my mental health that I feel like when I do have a couple of glasses of wine now, I notice that I'm much more likely to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and have spinny brains.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't have that at all. If I have consistent days of not drinking, then my sleep will, by the end of the week, will just be sort of, I'll be a little sleeping beauty, and I'll conk out for 8 hours at a time and I won't wake up with any anxious thoughts. Whereas this weekend was the first weekend where I think, rather than just having like a couple of drinks, I got a bit overexcited and we went out on the Saturday. And oh my God, the bloody anxiety. It wasn't even hangxiety. It kicked in the evening of, as I was going to bed. I was like, oh, wonderful. Let's think about all the reasons I'm a huge piece of shit.
Oh, Holly.
I know. So I'm not saying that those things aren't, you know, also important to tackle with therapy or talking to a friend, but I had always associated lots of those kind of health kicky things with negative mental health stuff, because that was my experience of them before, because I'd been very, very hard on myself.
Yeah.
And actually doing it in a little bit more of an intuitive way where possible has really helped me. And for me as well, intuitive in the past has just meant drink wine whenever I fancy a glass of wine. Whereas now I'm doing it a bit more in terms of what will my body really feel pleased about come tomorrow morning when I need to do my run or whatever.
Yeah. And do you know, I find it's really interesting that, because we're coming at it from ever so slightly different angles, in that my angle almost always is particularly from kind of 30 onwards, has been all about control. And so to allow myself a lapse in control, it's to try and kind of get my head in a space where I'm like, no, it's fine to, not only is it fine to have a lapse, but it's good.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to sort of shake it up a little bit, and it's kind of, go on, be crazy, have that gin like on a Wednesday kind of thing. But also as we were talking about, it's kind of allowing myself to have a yoga day or an actual rest day when I do no exercise and see that as actually beneficial, as opposed to somehow taking away from the kind of end goal. And I think, you know what? I think some for me, some of the reason why that's now okay in my head is because of COVID and because of having that little injury before Christmas, where I had to take a few days off, and actually realizing that that wasn't a bad thing at all. It's actually quite good for me to have had a little bit of time off. And the COVID 100%. Thing, I had to be careful coming back out of COVID, and I wasn't particularly. And I still don't think I'm back. I still don't think I'm 100% fine.
No, I still feel quite tired.
Yes. Yeah. I don't feel like super fatigued like I did the week after it, but running is definitely much, much harder, and much, much less fun. Last week would have been 1 week after testing negative, if you see what I mean. All of last week, my taste and smell were very subdued. I think I'm only just coming out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting, because I don't think I had any of that. And obviously that's a classic, that's an OG symptom.
Isn't it? Yeah, I know.
But and I don't think I have ever had that.
But I think it was, you know how we both got colds just after the running show? And I think at the running show, I was sort of fine. Then we had it felt like I had a 24-hour cold on maybe like the Tuesday.
Yeah, I had a bit of a similar thing. It was like a general rundown, sniffly nose, slight cough thing, where it was definitely not a patch on bloody COVID, but we did both feel not great.
Yeah, I felt crappy. And then also, then I got my period. And so I had those kind of, I was feeling, you know how you just feel run down. So I felt run down, had the cold, blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly I realized for about 4 or 5 days, I could smell things if they were right up to my nose. But even like cooking curries or making coffee, doing things that were very, very strong flavors and things, I couldn't really taste. And, unless I was I think it was if I was breathing out, I could taste it, but not if I was breathing in a weird way. So it's very peculiar, but I think that's just going now. I did get very concerned. I think that's just going. But I don't know how much that's wrapped up in the cold or whatever. But actually it could be as a result of
the other cold, couldn't it?
It might not be a COVID thing. It might just be a biddy bog standard bloody cold thing. I've no idea. But I mentioned period, and that was something I wanted to talk about, because when we were at the running show, I did that big talk about menopause and stuff. There were a couple of women that came up to me talking about menopause as a result of that chat. And I've just been thinking about it all last week, because I just wrote a couple of notes here because I think the thing that triggered it was that I got my period, and I got my period like 5 days early, and I was like, what? And then realized, I know. But then I realized that the last time that had happened, when my cycle had been so short, had been about a year before. And it was because I hadn't ovulated. And so the thing about me is that, and I'm sure that lots of women are the same, but right now, I think my ovulation pains and outward symptoms are probably either on a par or kind of worse than period. So mid-month, it's much more kind of fighty, and I get much more kind of tearful, and I get very, very spotty. So all of that sort of happens in the middle. And I didn't have any of that, so I didn't ovulate at all, which is, I know. And so this is what's happening. I'm grinding ever so slowly and not quickly enough for my liking to a halt. So which means that every so often I have this short cycle, because I just don't, all the eggs are just going. I've only got like 12 left or something, but no one tells you how many you've got anyway.
Would be nice, wouldn't it? Just so you could just count
down
the periods, like the Duplo blocks we were talking about.
Exactly that. Exactly. I think of it as being like a gumball machine. But yeah, you just want to know, well, if I've got 17 left, it means... Anyway, so I was thinking about this, and I was also thinking about... well, I went for a drink with a friend on Friday. Too many drinks, to be honest. And we were talking about menopause, and we were talking about taking either HRT or the pill, or, you know, all these sorts of things.
Anyway, never too many drinks with a friend on Friday, by the way.
Oh, it's great. Oh, I saw Lex in
the
pub.
It's always the best.
I forgot to say.
Did you?
Yeah, in my local.
Oh. It was Lex who brought the pizza the other day as well, just to shame her on the pod.
Friend of the pod. So I guess what I was thinking about with this, and that's also, sorry, I'm all over the place here. But it's also to do with the fact that I've been having some kind of achy, niggly pain, kind of lower glute, upper ham sort of thing. And I kind of diagnosed myself as having a sort of piriformis issue. That's what I think it was. So then when I was talking about menopause with Susie Chan.
Piriformis Susie... Rex.
Yeah. Sorry. Susie Chan was talking about how she had, prior to taking HRT, had been having a shoulder pain, a piriformis pain, and a knee pain.
Okay.
Goes and speaks eventually to a doctor about it, who says, oh yeah, that's classic menopausal symptoms.
And it's like, really?
What? Right. So then I Googled it. So it, for the purposes of today, I Googled it. I've not done anything about my piriformis at all. I've not even stretched it. I've done bugger all, and I really should, because every time I run, I can feel it, and it's not nice. So it says, so if you Google piriformis and menopause, because why not? The first thing that comes up, it says, women are more likely to develop piriformis syndrome due to hormonal changes that occur during pregnancy, menstruation, or menopause. Ta-da! And it's like,
there you go.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ooh.
Shit. And then also Susie, during that talk, she was talking about having pain in her shoulder. My shoulder has been buggered for a whole year. I'm just coming out of it. I thought it was like maybe frozen shoulder or some kind of impingement. It's just sort of vaguely going. Again, I've done nothing. But apparently that also can be, it's joints and basically seizing up. Don't have enough stuff. Not juicy enough anymore.
So we need some hormone to, here's the scientific take. We need some hormone to lube it up, and it's not doing that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, these are mental symptoms that I don't know about, right? Mental symptoms. So I was like, what, I mean, apart from the fucking obvious, which is, you know, hot flushes and, I mean, I don't know, dry vagina. I mean, what else?
Yeah,
what other things? The classic.
The hits.
So apparently there are 34 symptoms of menopause, right? But that doesn't mean obviously that you're going to experience all of them. And also lots of people say maybe there's 100, maybe there's 200 symptoms because there are so many. And that's why it all goes like completely undiagnosed or diagnosed like... red S or no, red S can be misdiagnosed. People go to the doctors going, I think I've got menopause. And the doctors go, yes, you've probably got signs of perimenopause or something or other. And actually it can be because they're overtraining.
you know, that their periods are all over the place or whatever. So there's all of that sort of stuff. But there's all these other things.
But like, super important to actually go and, because to first of all, make yourself aware of all the symptoms. And second of all, to go and speak to a doctor and say, no, I'm sure this is something. I'd really, really love to have my hormone levels tested. We were speaking to someone at the National Running Show, weren't we, who had exactly this. And she thought, I really need to make sure that I'm not going through early menopause here because I have so many of the symptoms. I need to go and get my hormone levels checked.
Yes.
And that has really inspired me even. I know lots of the things that I've experienced might also be symptoms of anxiety, but I think it does go to show that like how much our hormones can affect us, our running, our lifestyle, our health, and how often it can get misdiagnosed. But sorry, were you going to read the symptoms? Because I think as a PSA, we should.
We should. Well, this is only one website and it's only one set of symptoms. And I think there are going to be loads more. But I tell you, before I do go through the symptoms, one thing I was going to think about was because of my resulting from the chat that I had on Friday with a friend, very drunkenly, with loads of Savvy B, was up until now, I've been sort of thinking, well, HRT is only for women who are having hot flushes during the day that kind of, you know, can negatively affect their kind of working life and their kind of day-to-day life and stuff like that. So I always think it's for people with hot flushes or women that have, that are unable to sleep, that have terrible, terrible sleep as a result of kind of, well, mostly kind of hot flushes and things like that, and kind of brain fog and, you know, that kind of thing. So I've just thought, well, I'm kind of okay. I don't need HRT.
Yeah.
But when I was speaking to my friend on Friday, she was going, well, what are your periods like then? And I was like, oh, they're awful. You know, I have a horrible time with them. They're usually 8 or 9 days long. They're really heavy. And she said, because we're planning to run an ultra together, and she was like, you know, she's now back on the pill. I hope she doesn't mind saying this. She's now back on the pill, but she can run the pill packets together. And so this was the thing that really got me. It was like, oh, yeah, this is good. And I know this is Billy, you know, everyone knows this. Everyone knows you can run packets of pills together. But I've not been on the pill since I was like, I don't know, early 30s or something. And she was like, you know, I'm on the pill. It means that her periods are like a couple of days long. It means that if she's got a race in the diary, she
can run the
to
packets together.
Yes.
Interesting fact about running the packets together, though, and this may be completely outdated, but when I was on the pill, I remember speaking to a doctor about the fact that I wanted to run the packets together. And they said, oh, we only recommend doing 2 back to back maximum, because otherwise it can affect you in a negative way or something. I can't remember. Slightly sort of like fobbed me off with a bit of a like kind of wishy-washy answer. And then I remember thinking more about it where I was like, why can't I? Like, I think I had the thing where I had, maybe like a sports thing. And then I was also on holiday or something. So I thought, why can't I do 3 or more back to back together? And and I think I spoke to a friend as well who said that she had awful, awful, awful periods. So she just started never having the break so that she could fend the periods off. And I looked it up online. And I think that there is, this might be completely outdated. So please do, we'll double check this information and please do, you know, speak to a doctor or check for yourself. Don't take my word for it. But I think I read that it wasn't that there was any evidence for that having a negative effect on you. It was just the fact that they'd never done any studies into it. They didn't know what happened if you put multiple packs back to back. And that in fact is that more kind of evidence of not much interest or research into women's health and women's hormones, that could we be taking these packs back to back all the bloody time if we want to stop horrendous periods?
Yeah, I think I've had a conversation quite similar to that with Juliet before, because I think there is under-researched, and there is a difference obviously between the combined pill, which has both of those hormones in it, and the progesterone only pill. And I think one of them, progesterone only, I think you can just take and take and take, whereas they sort of suggest
because that's similar having the injection or something, isn't it? You don't have breaks, you don't have periods. Yeah,
exactly. Whereas I think with the combined, they sort of suggest you have a break, but I remember someone saying to me, actually, there is no, or there's very little research to suggest why you need to have the break, because obviously the bleed that you're having in between isn't a period.
So it's not like you're kind of allowing your body to kind of readjust in some way because it's not a period.
Yeah.
So,
I think in a, again, I believe I'm getting this information from a Netflix special. So once again, do speak to a GP. But I'm pretty sure I saw something on this Netflix special that was about hormones and birth control and things, about the fact that originally when the pill had been developed, the break was kind of put in order to make the pill feel more palatable, because if women were still having periods, then it felt as though it wasn't interfering with sort of God's natural things too much, and that would be more kind of sellable. But this is all maybe welcome to another episode of Holly and Esther's conspiracy theories. Maybe we need to actually get Juliet on to talk about some of this stuff again.
I think that's my received wisdom was too. I don't know if we've watched the same special, but menopause symptoms, right? Okay. Before I get onto it, there is, and again, this is just one website and this is not verified, but on this one website, it does say 20% of women will have no menopause symptoms whatsoever. So, you know, 2 in 10.
Blimey.
Women. No symptoms. So you don't have to, like, you think of perimenopausal symptoms as being, you know, classically, I'm going to go through all this shit and it's going to be awful and I will be like Davina and I won't know what's going on with me and it will all be mm-hmm. shit and I'll have to take HRT. Actually, 20% of women don't have anything at all. I know that my mum, for instance, she didn't take any HRT. She was fine. She can't even remember going through it. 60% of women, so the vast majority of women, would experience mild to moderate menopausal symptoms. So only 20% will experience menopausal symptoms that impact their daily life. But those are the people that we hear about. And to be fair, that is 20% of all women. You know,
that's still a lot of women, but that is shocking. So likelihood is your menopause symptoms are not going to impact your everyday life all the time.
Yeah.
Which gives us all, for once, a bit of hope being women.
Exactly. But back to the awful stuff. So the 34 symptoms of menopause, it says here, I can whisk through quite a few of them. One of them is irregular periods, obvs. One of them is hot flushes, obvs. So we know all about those. And night sweats, they've put that as a secondary thing. And it's like, well, actually, night sweats are hot flushes but at night. I get that, but I don't, I, it doesn't bother me in the slightest because it doesn't wake me up. Insomnia. So insomnia, obviously that can be a thing that can impact your entire life, and that is one of the reasons
that
why
is just one of my worst nightmares.
It's not great, but the easy fix is hormones of some kind. So HRT or the pill. Vaginal.
Sorry to use the word nightmares in front of the insomnia community when obviously that's a bit of an oxymoron, but you know what I mean. Horrendous. Indeed. I would hate it. When my sleep gets fucked, it's my worst thing ever.
It's not nice. You interrupted me while I was just saying the word vaginal. So let me carry
on. Apologies. What a terrible feminist.
Vaginal dryness. Number 5.
Oh, another hit. Yeah.
Do you
another
know,
classic.
We should do this as a kind of countdown, like a kind of Top of the Pops.
In at number 5.
Vaginal dryness. Nice.
So that is another thing that can be caused by lots of things, can't it? Because I remember speaking to a doctor about that once as a result of, again, being on the injection, which is progesterone, for a long time. That was something that I was a bit worried about. And the doctor was like, that is a massively common symptom.
Oh.
People don't really talk about because they get embarrassed about it, of being on progesterone hormone birth control stuff.
And here, I mean, there's horrible data here. It says 1 in 5 women aged 42 to 53 and over, and 1 in 3 women over 57 experience vaginal dryness. So that's not nice.
No.
So we need to lube up.
Lube up in all capacities. You can also get, I've seen in Boots you can get specific moisturizers and stuff, can't you? If it's like all the time that's really bothering you, like when you're walking, when you're running, for a prime example.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah, that you can get like a special moisturizer that is not irritating to skin and stuff, that is you can use on more intimate skin without yeah, so for future reference.
That sounds hideous. I'm really not looking forward to having
to the vag dryness.
The cardboard vag, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, oh. The cardboard vag is 100% the way to describe it, I think.
Not nice. And so that would lead me very quickly, I think, onto number six, which is mood swings, because you would definitely get a bit cross with the cardboard vag, wouldn't you?
Yeah. All of these things, I mean, are going to make you pretty cross so far.
Yes. Yeah. Change in hormone or fatigue brought on by menopausal insomnia. I mean, if you've got insomnia, you are going to be like basically sad and cross,
yeah,
aren't you?
You're not just going to be cross. You're going to be, I would be weepy, weepy McGee.
And to add to that, we also have at number seven, weight gain. Yay. So, I know, brilliant. So a drop in muscle mass as we age can also slow your metabolism. That's true, because obviously you've got mm-hmm. more muscle, then you churn through the calories. Muscle mass is said to decline by 3% to 8% every decade after our 30s. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. So yeah, weight gain, brilliant.
Very good. Well, I look forward to even more of that in my future, because I've always been cursed with a very low metabolism.
Marvellous. Brilliantly, at number eight, we have memory lapses, so you can forget about the weight gain for a little bit. Because,
excellent.
You know, yes, hurrah, hurrah.
And forget about the vaginal dryness and forget to lube up and then therefore experience more vaginal dryness. Pros and cons.
Pros and cons. Yeah. Which then leads to nine, which is depression. Hurrah, hurrah.
It's not a barrel of laughs, is it? The menopause so far.
And it carries on, because 10 is anxiety, 11 is panic disorder, mm-hmm. 12 mm-hmm. is just generally irritability, but that's my fucking life. I just, mm-hmm. yeah, you know. 13 is fatigue, brain fog, decreased libido. I mean,
God.
Isn't that just being a woman? And then there's mm-hmm. this one, which I can't pronounce. Paresthesia, which is tingling or pins and needles. Apparently that's a symptom.
We were talking about that, weren't we, with lying awake at night and having it in your legs and things.
Oh yeah, sort of restless legs, but or do you mean
restless leg stuff? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it says menopause related paresthesia is usually benign, but in some cases can be a sign of an underlying condition, just to make you more anxious and depressed.
Good. Yeah.
Here's a weird one.
To go with my colon cancer / horrible incurable bowel disease from my farts. Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah. Okay. Here's a weird one to look out for if you have any kind of health anxiety. Burning mouth syndrome.
Ooh.
This condition is defined by a burning sensation within the mouth, similar to a burning feeling you might get after drinking a hot cup of tea. So apparently that's a thing.
Blimey.
I know.
God, does your mouth suddenly feel very hot?
No, my mouth feels fine, but this is definitely... You have to be really careful with symptoms, don't you? You're an absolute nightmare. Maybe I shouldn't read these out.
I am.
Because you're just like, that's me. That's me.
Yeah, I'm so horrendous. I've never been diagnosed with hypochondria or anything, which is probably for the best. Because then I would just have another thing to worry about. My anxiety definitely is very focused around health, which is really, really irritating, because I find it very difficult to strike a balance between stuff like this, where like you should be totally aware and it's really important to know the symptoms of things, so that especially stuff that affects us as women specifically, so that you can advocate for yourself and look out for yourself, and at the same time feeling entirely responsible for my health, which I really have no knowledge or education on and understand very little about because I'm not a doctor. It's finding a balance between those two things.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah. God, it's so hard, isn't it? And that's why I do feel bad reading this out. But then I also, at the same time, I think it's probably, it's to be aware, isn't it? And for you to, you're a youthful child in your 20s and none of these will apply to you in a menopausal way, because they just won't. Mm-hmm. Because you're fine, you are absolutely fine. But I can totally understand you. The more you hear this stuff, the more you're just like, oh Christ.
Oh, God.
Maybe.
100%. But also, I mustn't do a classic me and make menopause symptoms all about me when there are lots of women actually going through menopause right now or perimenopause. And I hope that that is useful for them.
Yeah.
Lots of them. It's definitely worth us having a conversation about hormones. I would love to have a chat with Juliet in future as well about who I've just remember gave us a little message saying thank you for shouting her out on the last pod. She's become the number one, the best friend of the pod at the moment.
But
I would love to chat to her about birth control hormonal stuff. That's something that I worry about massively because I've been on some form of do we say birth control in this country? I keep thinking that sounds quite American, but we have got quite a few American listeners, so
I don't know. I guess we do.
Contraception, we call it. That's what we call it.
Yeah.
I've been on some form of hormonal contraception for 11 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And without a single break at any point, which I really do sometimes worry about, and how that might affect. I just don't have very much of an understanding of what symptoms might be, as we said before, things that are a result of anxiety or just part of normal everyday life, or might be signs of my response to particular hormones or particular like levels of hormones. Because I still haven't got my period back, even though I've had the coil for 18 months now, I still haven't had my period back and, not properly at least. And so I just have very, very limited understanding of my own kind of hormonal cycles and what's going on with me hormonally. So from a very selfish perspective, I think it would be great to get Juliet back in to talk about some of that stuff, but also let's tackle some more of these menopause questions. And please send in, whether it's menopause stuff, whether it's contraception stuff, whether it's, you know, just like general concerns that you feel that you're experiencing some of these symptoms, but you're not quite sure why or how, or it doesn't feel like the right time to be experiencing them or whatever, please write in and we'll try and get Juliet on and see if we can answer as many of them. I'm making this as a bold statement here we haven't discussed this off the pod yet.
I think it's a great idea. We should definitely get her back on. I mean, I like getting her on anyway, so it makes us all
feel good. Crack as well.
She is. And it's relieving, isn't it? It's always nice to have a doctor friend, after all.
Lovely to have a doctor friend.
You need to have a doctor friend and a hairdresser friend, and then I think you've got all bases covered. That was always
I haven't got a hairdresser friend.
Nor have I. Need one.
I would love. Okay, please apply here if you would like to be our hairdresser friend. We've got Juliet, who's our work doctor friend, and she knows everything there is to know, I feel, about women's health. And I've also got Auntie Nikki, who's my mum's best friend. I love having Auntie Nikki, and she's specifically an oncologist. So for all my various concerns and woes and lying awake in the middle of the night, Auntie Nikki is the one.
Oh, love Auntie Nikki.
She's great. I had two things that I wanted to talk to you about.
No, you need to stop. Because I haven't finished all the bloody symptoms.
Oh my God, really?
Yes. So hold your horses. I'd only got to burning mouth.
I'm so sorry. That was the longest tangent we've been on in our whole lives. Billy Connolly.
Holly, I'm only on 17 and we've got 34. So I have to rush through.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's do it.
Electric shock sensations.
What? Fucking hell. It's going to be very difficult not to comment on all of these.
I know. Itchiness, which is definitely worth saying because that's what Susie was saying, that she was terribly, terribly itchy throughout her whole body, was really itching. And as soon as she took HRT, it went. And then there's a bunch of aches and pains. So there's joint pain, muscle tension and aches, breast tenderness, headaches. Then you've got food sensitivities, IBS, food cravings. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of this is just life, right? Surely. Changes in taste.
Yeah.
Apparently you notice changes in how certain foods taste. This isn't in your mind. And it's due in part to reduced saliva production and dysesthesia, the burning sensation.
So
there we go.
Yeah, there you go. Changes in taste may also lead to an increased preference for sweeter foods. Bollocks. Right. Okay.
Interestingly, my dad had that as a result of after he had his stroke. He never ever used to like sweet foods. He never enjoyed. He used to like super spicy curries. He used to be a lot more of the kind of savory palate, and now he cannot stand spice and can't stop eating wine gums.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. There we go. So
there we go.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, sorry. So another aside.
And then the rest of it. I mean, honestly, none of this sounds nice. None of this sounds nice. So I do, what I also want to do is speak about reclaiming our lives post menopause and what's so great about it, because apart from a lack of period, which obviously is a joyous thing to look forward to for most people, perhaps. Well, no, not for most people, for some people, definitely for me. I'm not going to speak for all women. That's not fair. But anyway,
when I had my first ever period, the first thing I thought was, I was like, only 40 more years of this.
Yeah, exactly. So to carry on, we have bloating. Yay. Cause of fluid retention. And then it gets really good. Thinning hair, brittle nails, bladder incontinence, dizzy spells, kids, allergies, osteoporosis, irregular heartbeat. And that was number 34. So that was them. So we are done.
Okay.
We have got all of these enormous amount of symptoms. But I think it's so important to have read them out, because I think, a bit like Susie at the running show, sometimes you don't necessarily draw the dots. So she didn't realize.
Why would you think that having tingly legs and also feeling anxious are related, or you know, there's
exactly. So she did not connect itchy skin with achy knee, and itchy skin she thought was a bit of a weird one, but achy knee, because she's a mega runner, she was like, I run. And yet as soon as she took the HRT, it disappeared. And she said it was only recently. Where she, I think, you know, everyone, there was a problem getting prescriptions and stuff for HRT. And she had like some time off, like a couple of weeks or something. And all of the aches and pains returned. So she was like, it's, you know, HRT is an absolute godsend for her. So
For
everybody. It is not for everybody, but it can be for a lot of people. I think it can be quite life changing for people. And that's exactly how she sees it. So,
we should all go and speak to all of our doctors immediately. I did wonder whether it might be useful. I was looking the other day at egg donation. I'm not going to lie, mainly because you get 750 quid for doing it. so I thought maybe that would be something I'd be interested in doing. But it turns out I can't actually, because you have to be healthy on the BMI scale. And I don't think I've been healthy on the BMI scale since I was about 13. So I'm not allowed to do it. But I was going to say that they, as part of that, give you a fertility and kind of hormone test.
Yeah.
And that was kind of mainly what I was quite interested in. And I was wondering whether you can have that for free in the UK on the NHS. It just because it's something that you're interested in, and if you, like me, have been on hormonal contraception for such a long time that you don't have very much of an understanding of that from the kind of natural signs your body's sending you. I was wondering whether that was a thing that you can just speak to your doctor about, but I don't know.
I don't know. I was able to have, because there's a classic test that you have if you're trying to get pregnant and have been unable to, which is, I was in that position. And there's a classic blood test, or two blood tests that you have. And you have one, I think it's on day 14, and then you have one on day 21, I think. And it's to test your LH and FSH levels. So it's luteinizing hormone and follicular something. Anyway, it's kind of the rise and fall of hormones in your body as you kind of have your period and post period. Rise in ovulation and post-ovulation. That's what it is. So, and I think that basically would give you the answers that you're asking for. But I know that I was only able to get it because we'd been trying to have a baby for about a year,
I think.
Okay.
With little success. And so it was a bit like, please, please, can I have these things? But I don't
know. Yeah, valid that would be reserved for people who really need to do that. But
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And I also don't know if you were to have those tests, if you'd need to be off any kind of contraception.
Yeah, like probably.
Yeah, it might do. Because I don't know what that would do to those hormones. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Again, it's a Juliet question.
It's a Juliet question. Let's save these for Juliet. Sorry, because I'm starting to just bang on and use you as my personal anxiety reassurer now and asking you various random questions, which I tend to do. But can I tell you my two things now?
Yes. Yes, you may.
Right. First of all, this is kind of... I wondered if I should have saved this for another episode, but I'm going to tell you now and we can discuss it in more detail at another point. But I have signed up for something that I'm doing in July.
Yeah.
And it isn't directly, it's not running, but it's definitely going to be of interest to everybody on the pod me and a couple of friends are doing a 26.2 mile hike over the Brecon Beacons, because we talked about doing more trail stuff, and I felt like I just need the confidence of I feel like it'd be really helpful, the confidence of covering that distance.
Yeah.
And it's very, very, very up and downy. It's meant to take like 12 hours or something to do the whole thing, but I just thought I'd go for it and stop thinking about it and just do it, put something in the calendar. I'm really looking forward to it.
Sounds amazing.
And I think it's going to really... Yeah, I think it's going to really build my confidence in terms of... I'm definitely going to do some trail runs as part of my training for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bit of... I know it will be walking. I won't attempt to run any of it because I think it's quite difficult terrain, and I'm doing it with a group and they're not runners, so I don't want to leave them behind. Yeah. But... yeah, I'm just really excited about that. So I'm
that's gonna be lovely.
Walking a marathon. I'm walking a marathon.
Yeah, I'm jealous because I think that sounds absolutely lovely.
I can't wait. Honestly, Esther, yeah, I'm so excited.
That's so
and
cool.
My other thing. So we'll talk about that more another time, and I will keep everybody updated because I suppose that will be one of the main things I'll have to be training for after Paris.
Yeah.
When it's walking, I suppose obviously the good thing about it is it's not exclusively. I won't exclusively have to train for that. You know, if there are other running goals that we'll have in the diary and stuff, then I know that running will only kind of contribute to training for that. But just thought I'd get it in there to have something to look forward to. And then also I need to tell you about the fact that figs are in fact vegan.
Stop the press. Right,
I know. I haven't read this out on the pod yet, but I've been sitting on this email for a little while.
Go.
This is from Maya. Who is an American listener. So she said, first of all, so if you haven't listened to it yet, this was an episode that came out over kind of Christmas time. And it was the one that we were speaking to Molly from Vegan Food and Living. And she told us on that podcast episode that technically figs weren't vegan. We were all a little bit unsure about what we were on about.
Yeah.
But something to do with figs, wasp crawling inside figs and dying. But Maya is a fig expert who's here to tell us
fig
all about
expert.
It.
Oh my God.
You know, I think we literally joked as well, like if anybody is a fig farmer, we have almost literally had, she's not quite a fig farmer, but we have almost had a letter in here from a fig farmer. Maya knows her shit about figs. So she's going to tell us about it here.
Tell me.
So she said, first of all, I truly love the podcast and I've listened to it religiously for the past few months. Thanks, Maya. Aww. We love you a lot. I'm training for my first marathon coming up this June, and your insights are endlessly valuable. I mean, I would agree to disagree, Maya, but I'm so glad that you feel that way. That's amazing. Good luck. And I'm sure you're going to smash it. One of the Christmas time podcasts discussed going vegan and particularly figs. I worked in a plant nursery specializing in fruiting trees, and I would like to help clear this up. There is a lot of confusion about how figs work, so I don't blame you at all. And I hope this doesn't sound crazy that I felt the need to write an email regarding figs. No. Oh. We are endlessly grateful. Basically, the process by which a fig wasp lives inside the fig can only occur in certain mild areas where fig wasps live.
typically Southern California in the US, and only happens with particular types of figs called Smyrna, I might not be pronouncing that right, or San Pedro figs.
Right.
But the female wasps just live there during winter, get pregnant from a male wasp visiting, and then leave the fig and find a new fig to lay her eggs in, thus pollinating these types of figs. However, there are other types of figs that don't require fig wasps at all. So depending on what type of fig you're eating, they could have nothing to do with wasps whatsoever. All this to say, I don't think it should be a concern to vegans when eating figs. Anyway, thanks for a lovely podcast and look forward to more. Hasn't that blown your mind? It turns out figs were a lot more complicated than we thought.
Figs are very complicated.
But basically, unless it's a fig wasp, so it's not just your everyday, it's not your, not the average, not the bastards that you see flying around.
No.
And it's also not probably your average fig. It's specifically Smyrna, S-M-Y-R-N-A, might be pronouncing it wrong, or San Pedro figs. And generally, you're only going to have, they're only going to be ones that have been pollinated in Southern California where fig wasps live. And also, it doesn't sound like the wasps are dying in the figs like we thought. That sounds like bollocks.
It did sound like the inside of a fig was filled with dead wasp. I think
wasp
that was
guts.
Kind of
that's what we thought.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the case. Even with San Pedro figs, if they are, oh my god, if they are made in California, it's Monday morning. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my god.
There we go.
Wow.
That was couldn't wait to read you that email.
Oh,
thank you
so much, Maya.
Amazing. Yeah, that really made my day when that came in.
Especially because it was suddenly like, fig rolls are back on the menu. Hurrah!
I know this whole time during Veganuary, we could have been eating figs, which, you know, I regularly do. So I love a fig, me.
I love a fig.
Fig on a fig as like a sort of treat. Fig amongst a cheese board spread.
Oh yes, yes. And
that's
actually
nice.
I put loads of figs in my Christmas cake this year, and it was just a thing of joy. A thing of joy to have.
Ooh.
Yeah, little figgy mouthfuls. So
Figgy, bring us some figgy pudding.
Exactly. Yeah. Hurrah! Hurrah for figs.
Hurrah. Oh,
hurrah for Maya.
Hurrah for Maya. Hurrah for figs. And absolutely dive in and fill your boots, vegans, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. From just £2 a month, you can become one of our supporters on Patreon and join our Pod Squad gang. You'll receive a patron-only weekly newsletter from me and Holly, free access to our monthly live chats, and you can listen ad-free too. If you join our Cheer Squad tier, there are bonus podcasts to be had as well. Go to Patreon, that's patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The editor and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way, you won't miss the next episode. And do email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we'd love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.